Look at Ballantyne. Will he take him on? He looks at Rivers and he says, you're a little old. I'm young and I'm sneaky. Round one. Ames lets it rip. Oh, Ballantyne. He just looked at him and he said, I have got you covered, Gerald. You are not the same that I am.
Welcome back to Talking for
A great goal there from Bowers after his farewell at the Doig Medal on Saturday night.
Mundy coming in fourth, Brad Hill third, Walters second, and Fife first once again in the Doig. That's his third, adding to his ever-growing personal trophy cabinet.
As the first day of the trade period starts, we will be discussing all the latest Fremantle trade news.
So we'll start on the trades again. What's on the cards for Freo this trade period?
Well, the newest news for Fremantle is Angus Brayshaw is being apparently touring around the Fremantle facilities in the last couple of days. So, apparently, he wants to request a trade to Freo to join his brother.
That's interesting because they've also got another younger brother at West Coast. I can't remember his name, but he's only 21, so that'd mean the trio of brothers would also be there. And also, their father had interviewed for the CEO position at the Freo Dockers. So that could result in a big family club that, as Justin Longmuir was hoping for.
And we could also get Angus Brayshaw through a Langdon trade. I reckon we could just do a straight swap.
Yeah.
I reckon that's fair. I mean, Melbourne fans are like, Brayshaw is better than Langdon, but I feel like they're around the same level.
Obviously, Langdon's a fair bit younger.
Yeah, so I reckon that'd be a fair deal. Both get a new player. And don't really lose much, really, because they can both play outside, mid. But Brayshaw is a bit more inside. But Melbourne are missing an outside mid, so they need Langdon more than we do. Tim Kelly. Justin Longmuir has not spoken to Tim Kelly yet.
Not yet, but he's said that he would if Tim Kelly would like to speak to him. And about the club going forward, if that's what Tim wants. That's someone from in the club has come out and said that. So, and Peter Bell was very, very keen on Brayshaw. I'll just go back to him. He's not denied his interest for the Melbourne superstar who finished third in the Brownlow in 2018, was it?
Yeah, he finished third and did not get invited to the Brownlow
this
as well.
Year. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, back to Tim Kelly. Realistically, I feel like we're still the front runners on what we can offer to Geelong.
Most likely pick 6 and 7, assuming that St Kilda give us pick 6 for Brad Hill if he leaves, which is more than likely at this point.
I reckon if Brad Hill's going to leave, we have to get at least pick 6. Nothing less. We need at least pick 6. Or Brad Hill will stay for the Dockers.
We'll cut to right now. Fife's thoughts on Brad Hill in his press conference after the Doig.
Put him in a headlock and not let him leave, essentially. I think it's going to be a big trade period. He's clearly outlined his intentions to go back to Melbourne. We'd love to keep him. He's got some family considerations to weigh up. If I can get hard-nosed, I'll say that the business of AFL is hard and it can't all just be letting people wander around and do what they want. So if we can hold him to his contract and keep him at our club, we'd love to do that as a friend, as a captain. But he's got a few decisions to make.
So what do you think about that interview?
Well, obviously Fife doesn't want Brad Hill to leave as long as he's contracted, as we hear a bit later in that interview. He says AFL is a lot harder than just picking and choosing where you want to go. I'm not saying Brad Hill's intentions are wrong. Obviously, he wants to move it back there for family, but pretty much as Fife saying is, technically he's contracted, so he should be staying at Freo until he's out of contract if he wants to leave. And then the interviewer asked something like Ed Langdon. Fife says his situation's a lot different. Like, Ed Langdon served the club for 7 or 8 years now, so, and he's made comments that he wants to move back to Melbourne for family reasons for a while now. So Fife said that's pretty much fair enough. And as you said before, I think that can be part of the Brayshaw trade.
He's also about to go out of contract as well, so it's a bit different to the Brad Hill. He's got 2 and a bit years left on his contract. So I think Brad Hill will end up leaving, but we're going to play hardball with St Kilda. They're going to have to give us at least pick 6, maybe even more, which they might not want to do. So
if they want Brad Hill, that's what they're going to have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, because they also want Paddy Ryder. Zach Jones just requested a trade to them, so they're going to have to trade player like Jack Stevens away to get draft picks, to get trades.
I think that Jack Stevens was all, I think, thinking about going to Geelong for pick 36.
Yeah, if they got pick 36, they could potentially trade that for more picks to get Brad Hill done, because I don't think he's worth a first and a second rounder.
No.
Maybe like a pick 6 and maybe like a 5th round pick in there as well, just to get the deal done. But he will leave to St Kilda, which means
we'll currently have pick 6 and 7. Currently, Freo only have pick 7, 26 and 82 from trading them last year. So what do you think we do with those later picks?
Well, I reckon, obviously, after Brad Hill goes, well, he will go.
Yeah.
We'll have pick 6 as well. So I reckon we can get the Langdon trade done with a straight trade for Brayshaw. I believe that's fair. Maybe we could put a third rounder from next year in there.
Yeah, yeah, just to satisfy them.
Yeah, but I reckon we trade back from pick 7 and we get 2 picks in the teams and use those 2 picks in the teams to get Tim Kelly, because that's going to be more than what West Coast offer. So I reckon that would be a fair deal. If we have to, I would offer next year's first round draft pick if we get Brayshaw as well, because I think that would be finals contention.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then we'll have pick 6, 26 and 82 still left after that trade.
Yeah, and we can go into the draft with young WA talent like Devin Robertson.
Yeah, Devin Robertson's a very good player. He's also WA a captain, so he's a leader. He can bring that leadership to the team, because we are a young team, so leadership is key.
There's also Jeremy Sharp,
Trent Rivers,
Liam Henry, but we can get him on our point system, so that's not really a big deal about our picks. So which out of the three, so Robertson, Sharp and Rivers, would you be going for?
I think looking at the stats and stuff, it'd be between Devin Robinson and Trent Rivers, because obviously Devin Robinson averages 20 plus disposals and is a leader. And then you got Trent Rivers, who, when he was playing for East Frio, did not go under 25 disposals in a single game. And then Jeremy Sharp, though, did perform very well in the combine, finishing in the top 10 in, I think, three events.
Especially the 2K time trial, he did extremely well in that, so he's a good runner.
Yeah, we want that good run. Could replace Brad Hill if you got a good runner.
Potentially, we could use picks 26 on maybe Jeremy Sharp.
Yeah, because the experts are saying anywhere from top 10 to 35.
Yeah.
So he could still be there at 26, so we could potentially get one of Devin Robinson and Trent Rivers and Jeremy Sharp.
Yeah. I'll go into some other trades now. Camden McIntosh, the Tiger, who was looked over by Marlon Pickett in the grand final.
Yeah, there is interest there, but at the end of the day, I don't think Freo will go get him, because there's other players we want to get, like Brayshaw and Kelly, that we'll focus on.
Yeah.
And also, if we don't get them, I think we want to go to the draft instead of getting these players. Because if we don't get any of the players, we could have pick 6, 7, 26 and 82. I think that Freo will be satisfied with that at the end of the trade period.
Richmond's come out and said that they would like to hold on to McIntosh, so I don't think that's really going to go anywhere. Connor Menengue, another Richmond wingman, very, very good runner, very quick.
I think this could be a deal that actually does go through for a late draft pick.
Yeah.
But it won't be a very big trade. He can go on the wing. He's quick. But so you need those quick people on the wing. That's what I want in the wing. I want someone that can run all day and is speedy. I don't need them to get the 20 touches a game.
Yeah, and there's someone just to replace Brad Hill. There's also Mason Wood, the Kangaroos. He's pretty young, actually. Coming back, he wants to come back home.
Yeah, it all depends on what our other deals are going with, I reckon. Because Tim Kelly's going to go down to the wire, that trade.
I think that will probably happen in the last one or two days.
If we're going to get Mason Wood, it's going to be in the first week, I reckon, because the next week we're going to be concentrating on Tim Kelly and trying to bring him in over West Coast. So he can play forward, but I don't know if he'll get many games. So we might change him to someone that can play back. Back,
yeah.
That could be a good idea.
I think he's probably more of a depth player, to be honest.
I think Freo need that depth because the run of injuries we had this season did potentially cost us our finals this year. So,
if you look at after the bye, we were sitting, was it sixth?
Yeah, and we'd beaten two top four teams in Collingwood and GWS away from home. Blake Akers is another one we've been linked to. What do you think will happen with that?
I mean, he's shown signs of talent. I've not really seen much of him. I remember earlier on last year, he had a really good three or four games. I think he was averaging like 30 disposals for the first five games.
Yeah, and something like that. I think he was playing well.
Yeah, then I think he had an injury and then didn't see. I've not seen much of him after that. I think he could be useful up forward. Maybe run in the mid, depends what's happening, injuries. I think, he could be useful.
He could also be a bit of depth. We need depth. Well, Jack Noons.
Unrestricted free agent, so potentially we could get him for free, so that would be a handy pickup.
I reckon you just go for him. It's not going to cost you anything. It's not costing you a draft pick, a young player at the end of the day. So,
No.
I think he'd be useful. He can play on the wing as well. Potential Brad Hill replacement if he does leave, which is very likely.
Yep. So, out of 10, how much are you expecting from the Fremantle trade period? 10 being exceptional, 0 being terrible.
I reckon by the end of the trade period, I'll probably give us an 8. Looking at the players we've been linked to and players leaving, I think we can get an 8 at the draft or trade period, and then going to the draft, we'll still have
looking really good. Good number of draft picks. Good. Yep. So we're going to do a little bit of our predictions for next year. So what are you thinking for next year?
I believe we can scrape into the 8 next year, all depending on the trade period. If we, let's say we don't get anyone and draft well, I think we could still scrape in. But let's say we've got Tim Kelly and Angus Brayshaw, I believe we'd finish anywhere from 5th to 8th on the ladder.
Well, also, depends highly on injuries, like 2019, sorry, was a horror run of injuries. Hogan, Lobb,
Pierce,
Ryan,
right at the end of the season,
Wilson, all the key players were
on Tabner as well.
So we pretty much had a pretty lackluster forward line and a pretty shaky defence for the last few games, pretty much relying on Hamling.
Yeah, so I think our back line is very good, but lacks depth, I reckon.
Yeah.
It lacks lots of depth. I think we need to bring in some players
that
can come in and replace like the likes of Alex Pierce without us worrying about there being like a hole in our defence.
Yeah. Alex Pierce is in All-Australian form up until the injury against Collingwood, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why maybe Freo were interested in Camden McIntosh.
Because he can go down
back. Yeah, he can go down back and he's a good user of the ball. Can good skills, which obviously Justin Longmuir was trying to improve with the group. So I think that depending on what we can get him for, I wouldn't want to be using anything too high on him.
No, I don't think at all.
I don't think he's worth much, much of our picks.
Yeah, I don't think he'll cost much at all. But the other thing I think we need to sort out next season is we had some close games this season against some teams that are not considered to be that good, that we managed to lose. Gold Coast, Carlton, and... Well, Melbourne are good, but they were terrible this season.
Yeah.
Three games, if we won, we're nearly in the eight if we won those three games. Even with the injuries.
And even our percentage was horrible. Like, even we had a lot of quick, close game wins as well, but they weren't that good teams either, like Sydney.
We never scored much. All season, right? We were averaging like 60 points.
I think the only game that I've seen Freo play with such freedom was the round one against North Melbourne.
Yeah, and then we just scrapped that straight away. Yeah. Was it Gold Coast round two?
Yeah.
And we lost.
Yeah, no, it was. No, that was a disappointing start to the year. And then it was, we had a good run of games, rounds 5 to 13, I'll say.
Yeah, until the bye, and then after the bye, that's when injuries kicked in.
And then we didn't.
And we weren't kicking points, and we were conceding lots because our defence obviously lacks depth.
Holes in them.
And there was holes everywhere. But then I think the main thing we can take out of the 2019 season is Hamlin being brilliant now and back. Like, Alex Pearce got injured, he's meant to be the main man.
And he stepped up.
And Hamlin stepped up, he stopped every forward he was on. He shut them down every single game. So I think we can take that into the 2020 season.
I think that one of the standout games he had was against Geelong, and he was on Hawking. Yeah, I think
he was really good.
He let Hawkins...
He was shaky early, but
kick,
after that...
I think he let him kick two.
He was two in the first quarter, but after that he didn't concede again.
Yeah, no, he was... I didn't see much of Hawkins after that either.
Yeah, he was like really quiet.
Right on him, yeah.
I didn't even know he was on the oval at that point. I thought he was injured or something. He was completely shut down.
I think that's the things that annoyed for our fans this year was the ability to play really good, but then the
inconsistency.
Inconsistency. Like, that game against Geelong, we were top eight side easily then.
We've beaten three or four top four teams, like, who were in the four at some point in the year.
Yeah.
And we managed to lose to Gold Coast, which... I don't really want to be that rude to Gold Coast, but they're not the best team, are they? They're the worst team by a long shot in the league.
Three games this year, and one of them was against us. That's embarrassing.
Really embarrassing.
And, I mean, I thought Brandon Matera had a really good year. I thought this was his best individual performance. Like, that's
You know why I think it was his best performance? Because Ross Lyon decided to take him off the right wing, which is... It's like he's a left footer and he can't kick with his right foot, and he's been playing the right wing, and he got moved to the forward line, which I think was a really good decision by Ross. One of the only decisions he made, good decisions this year. And Matera actually played really well up forward for the majority of games.
I think he kicked about 37 goals.
He was
in
good.
The end. So he that was good. Jesse Hogan showed glimpses. I think it was against Port Adelaide. He kicked three or four, and that was right before he got
his foot. And that was all because we actually disposed the ball well and speared it on his head.
Yeah, we attacked the game against Port Adelaide, and that's when I was getting really excited then, because I think we were almost... That was the round before the bye, wasn't it?
Yeah, the round before the bye, and everyone was having a go at us for being... cocky, but I don't think we were cocky, we were just celebrating our goals, you know? It's what you do as a footy club, you want to get around each other. So I thought that was really good. And I think after that, we dropped off. We didn't win a game after those comments.
No, after Kane's comments, is it access all areas or the round so far? One of those things. The assistant coaches, it's a bit of a tricky topic at the moment. We haven't really heard much news from who's going to be Justin Longmuir's coaching panel. He's talked about they need to find roles that suit the coaches and the staff better. So whether that be development coaches or specific position coaches. So what do you think about that?
Well, the one thing people are saying, are the Dockers going to bring in Don Pike as a senior assistant to help Longmoor in his first season as a senior coach? I think that could work.
Could work, yeah.
But that, like, you could... I don't think we can bring Pav in as a forward coach because he wants to work in the media. So you have to bring in someone from another club, I think, that wants to move up the ranks in being an assistant. So I don't really know who it could be. There's not been much news around it at the moment.
I think Pav will end up being involved more in the club in some way, shape or form in the future. I think he just wants to...
He wants to have a break. He said when he retired, he wants a break from the club of being here for a long time. So I reckon he could come back later, in the later years.
Possibly work, as you said, in the forward coaching, or maybe even a player support coach or counselor.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So what do you think about the Doig medal and the comments that were made from... the players and Justin Longmuir in particular?
I think Justin Longmuir is getting way better at actually speaking to the public. When he first started, he wasn't great at it, but over the last few days of obviously speaking to the media a lot, he's got pretty good at speaking to the media. Obviously, we spoke on Net 5, speaking about Brad Hill not wanting him to leave, but I think... Nat Fyfe was a deserving winner of the Doig medal on Saturday night. Obviously, Walters had a good year, but Fyfe was just outstanding.
Yeah, no. That, he was just consistent all year. Even though I think he copped a lot of flack for winning so many in the Brownlow, so many three-vote games, even though we lost. But I don't think that really is a... bad thing. If you look at his or if you just look at the way he plays, it's so dominant. No matter what the score is, you can just...
you always know he's there. Yeah, he's never unnoticed.
He was definitely the shining light in the midfield this year. I think that Darcy Tucker showed some promise.
Darcy Tucker looked really good.
Signed him on
this year. Yeah, he deserves to get a contract
extension.
Yeah, he's done really well this year, and as Fyfe said, he said to Fyfe, "You go for the ball, I'll take your man," and all this.
I think same with Conker.
Yeah, Conker as well. I think that shows that like they're the team. They're together. The team is together.
They're not there to get the individual numbers and recognition.
Yeah, they actually want to win a Premiership, and I reckon we could get one of the next. I think few that's years
we're going in the right direction.
We are going the right direction. I think the future is very bright for Fremantle.
Okay, that's all the time we have for. Thanks for listening, and follow our Instagram at @talking_Freo. See you next week when we talk about more about the trade period and what it means for the Fremantle Dockers.